Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, my special guest is Ed Marquard from the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra, or RICCO. And Ed has been the conductor and the music director for a number of years, and returning probably for, maybe our 10th or 11th show together, I would think.
At least, yeah, probably more like 20.
Well, there you go. And it's good to have you back, Ed. We're going to find out about the program that you're presenting on March 12th, so next week, at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul on Fenner Street in Providence. And tell us about this program. What are you presenting?
Well, we have several pieces on the program, but it's a very, very special program, as March usually is, in that we have the winners of our eighth now annual collegiate vocal competition. The winners were selected by the judges in October when they auditioned. They came from 16 colleges, universities, or conservatories in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Connecticut, the entries. And we're very happy this year. It was the highest quality of entries we had. And the judges tell me this year's quartet, whom I will meet next week, is extraordinary. We have our soprano, Alyssa Weathersby, who's from New England Conservatory, Susanna Thornton, mezzo-soprano from the Longy School of Music, Jacob Cipo, tenor from Rhode Island College. I'm always glad when one of our people win, and he's actually a local. He's from Woonsocket. And Chase Gutierrez is the baritone, and he's from the Hart School of Music. There will be soloists in two pieces, Michael Haydn's Missa Sancti Gabrielis and Franz Schubert's Magnificat.
All right. Well, that sounds interesting. Now, you said you're going to meet them next week. The concert is next week.
That's right.
So
I always meet the soloists the day of the dress rehearsal.
Wow.
Whether it's these young people, we'll have a rehearsal in the afternoon with piano on Friday afternoon, and then we'll put the thing together with the orchestra and the big chorus on Friday night, and then the program's on Saturday.
What a deal. And the program starts at what time at the cathedral?
7:30 p.m.
7:30 p.m., and that'll be something you want to check out. And if you'd like to do that, you can get information by going to the website, which is pretty simple. It's ricco.org. Like I said at the beginning of the program, ricco.org. Or if you want to call a phone number, you can call 401-521-5670. And now let's get to the music. You brought some with you that is what's going to be happening. Tell us about it.
We will start by listening to the Schubert Magnificat in C major. It's in three movements, and this is one of those pieces in which our soloists will serve, or the students will serve as soloists.
All right, and we'll listen to all three pieces together and then be back.
Thank you.
beautiful music that will be performed by the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra under Ed's direction. And Ed, we mentioned briefly that you're going to meet these four young people and then have to put the program together. The entire program, putting that together, is there how much rehearsal is involved in that besides eliminating those four soloists? Do you prepare for a month, for 2 months, for...
Well, the Civic Chorale, meaning the singers,
right,
rehearse every Wednesday night.
Every Wednesday.
Okay. 7:30 to 10. And we have been working on this program since mid-January. So, say, 8 rehearsals with just the chorus. And then when we get with the orchestra, I have, and this is true of all our concerts, whether it's Messiah or Elijah or something big like that, or... In this case, this program made up of several smaller pieces. I rehearse the orchestra once by itself and then put it all together at a dress rehearsal, except we don't wear costumes.
Right.
We just call it a dress rehearsal, but one rehearsal in which I put together, put the soloist, the orchestra, and the chorus all together on Friday night before the concert.
Wow. Okay. So a lot of work behind the scenes, and then it comes together real quickly.
It does, and fortunately we have... great players in, mm-hmm. in the orchestra, most of them members of the Rhode Island Philharmonic, and our personnel manager, Gene Cristofulli, always puts together a terrific orchestra for us. And they do their homework, they come prepared, and so that's a really, really big help because we only have that one rehearsal with everybody together.
Right. Have to be prepared. Speaking of being prepared, we're going to move on to the next piece, which is, we're going to break up a little bit with a commercial break, but let's take the first part of it, if you will.
We're doing the first movement of Edward Elgar's very famous Serenade for Strings, Opus 20. And the piece itself was put together about 6 years after he had written sketches for an all-girls orchestra in a school that he was teaching. And so right before he got married, he put them all together in this serenade. And we all know Elgar from the Enigma Variations and the many pomp and circumstances that he wrote for special occasions. In his later years, he always said that this very, very early piece, the first piece that really put him in the public eye, was his favorite piece.
Hmm.
So we're going to listen to the first movement, which is in... titled Allegro Piacevole. It literally means pleasurable allegro.
All right. We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Ed Marquard of the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra, and we're talking about a performance that's going to be held on March 12th, next week, at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul in beautiful downtown Providence. And Ed, we kind of split up this last movement, if you will. Tell us where we're picking it up now.
We're going to play the second movement of Sir Edward Elgar's Serenade for Strings. It's a slow movement, and it's probably the most famous movement from the piece. It's sometimes done alone on a program as a standalone item.
Thank you.
Now, Ed, in my attempt to always trick you and come up with a question that you're not expecting, most people that listen to this program know that I'm a singer. I do not play a musical instrument. And a lot of people probably, like me, wonder, when something gets very, very soft, particularly in classical music, how it's difficult sometimes to even hear it on the radio. We have sometimes listeners that complain, well, that's too soft, I couldn't hear it. But we don't want to change what the composer or the arranger, if you will, decided to do. Now, how do you get something as soft as that last piece? Is it just a matter of fewer pieces playing it?
No, It's I see what you mean. No, everybody is playing it. And in the case of this particular piece, they move the bow slower and without as much pressure. And in this case, I just let it drift off and they sort of decide when to quit. I don't give them a big cutoff or anything. That would be too abrupt. I just let it go, as it were, into the ether.
Fades out.
Yeah. And that's the thing about conducting that some people don't understand, nor should they probably. But the conductor is the guy or gal who doesn't make any noise, or at least shouldn't, although we've heard some people grunting on the podium, I'm sure. But I think Zubin Mehta put it very well, and we all try to do this. He said, it's like riding a horse in that you have to know when to hang on to the reins and when to let go. Mm-hmm. And so many young conductors are afraid to let go when things are going well. There's a great old story when Pierre Monteux had the San Francisco Orchestra, and he had a young conductor conduct a concert, his assistant. And he called him in his office the next morning. The maestro did, and said, did you like the way the San Francisco Orchestra played last night? And the young man said, oh, yes, it was thrilling. And Monteux said, well, then why did you conduct so much? There is a point that which you have to get out of the way and let them be artists as well.
Right.
And the same thing with the chorus.
Now, as far as a musician is concerned, if they're playing something for the second or third time, it isn't like they've been practicing like your chorale has been practicing for months on this piece necessarily. So a violinist, let's use that as an example, may be seeing this piece for the second or third time, right? It's possible.
Well, we do get the parts out to them. I mean, the orchestra for March 12th have had the parts at home for about a week now.
But they have to learn that on their own and then watch you while they're looking at the music.
One would hope occasionally they would watch me, yeah. They're missing out on the fun if they don't. But it's up to me to, if there's anything that I want specially treated in the piece or how loud I really want it to be or where I want an accent, which direction I want the bow to go, I mark that in all those parts before I send them out.
I see.
And I suppose for this concert, I've spent close to 75 hours marking the parts for the four pieces on the program.
Okay. So, see, now we're getting the behind-the-scenes story.
Well, I think it's important for your listeners who think all we do is wave our arms. There's a bit more to it than that. But I think the important thing is that you're as clear as you can be when you mark the parts so that they have an idea of what's coming in that first rehearsal. And then the decision-making begins as to, if they're doing it well and they're doing it the way you want to, there's no reason for you to get in the way. The other thing that I've always taught my students is what we are really doing, other than the inspiration factor and all of that sort of thing, is reminding the players what they have in front of them, reinforcing that they are correct.
Right.
If they're playing a forte, if they're playing loud, we remind them, yeah, you're doing the right thing. So we conduct loud. If we want them to play softly, we can't conduct loud because we're going against what they have in front of them.
Right. So less emphatic.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the last piece in this movement before we take the next break.
I think
break.
That was too much information.
No, I think that was great. We could go on for a long time, but we don't have that kind of time.
Okay. I'll come back next week. This is the last movement. It's Allegretto, and the discerning listener will hear that the music from the first movement comes back at the end. Thank you.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Ed Marquard of the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra, and listening to music that will be presented next week on March 12th at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul in beautiful downtown Providence. And I believe you said 7:30?
Yes, sir.
P.M. And if you'd like to get tickets and information, you can go to their website, which is very, very simple, RICCO.org. Ed, we've been listening to some great music, but you have a lot of things that keep you busy besides the Rhode Island Civic Chorale and Orchestra. Tell us about what else is going on.
Well, in addition to being on the board of the Music Mansion, where I have a friend who lives.
Who's pretty involved there, too.
Yeah, yeah, and involved on this music station as well. I also wanted to say, you mentioned about things that conductors do behind the scenes, and I was watching you work, and maybe your audience doesn't know all the things that have to go in that Mike does to put this show together. It's really astonishing to watch you work at such a complicated task and do it so efficiently. I applaud you
nice.
For that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. One of the fun things that I'm doing, and I have been doing it for a couple of years now, I've been giving a talk at the Redwood Library and Athenaeum in Newport on the Sunday before our concert there. As you know, we repeat the fall concert and the spring concert. But this spring, I've been invited to do a series of music appreciation lectures on Sunday afternoons there, the first of which took place this afternoon. So we won't talk about that one. But if you go to the Redwood Library and Athenaeum webpage, you can find their program listing and what I'll be talking about. Briefly, I'm doing a talk on Haydn and Mozart, the next one on Bruckner and Mahler, then Shostakovich and his relationship to Stalin, and the last one is on Benjamin Britten, and we're doing a work of his the couple of weeks after that in Newport. But it's Benjamin Britten, The Moralist and Loss of Innocence. So I look forward to these because there are lots of fun. They're for the membership, but they're also open to the public free of charge at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoons.
Free of charge?
Yes, that means we don't pay anything.
Wow.
To them or me, actually. Yeah, but that's
there you
it.
Go. But, you know, there's not a lot of free things in Newport. So
yeah, this is one.
Take advantage of that. It'll cost you $80 to park. But, no, the parking is free, too.
And unless you have an easy pass or go the long way.
Right, go the long way. All right. Let's get back to the program that's going to be presented next week. And where are we on our list of music we want to listen to?
We're very excited about this next piece. First of all, it's a stunning piece of music by a young Norwegian-American composer by the name of Ola Jello. That's J-J-E-I-L-O. And it's called the Sunrise Mass. And he treats the Mass, the text that we're all used to when we listen to a Mass by Haydn or Bach or anyone else, he treats it a bit differently in that he's entitled the music the way it appears to him, to remind him of certain facets of life. The first is called the Spheres, that's the Kyrie. The second, the Gloria, is the Sunrise, then the City, and then Identity and the Ground, which is the Sanctus and Agnus Dei. We're going to hear a portion of the City right now, and it's quite exciting, I think.
All right. It's a little bit lengthy, so time restraints will make us fade a little bit on it.
I must also add, it's a great honor for us to be collaborating with the Jump Dance Company. Mary Paula Hunter, its director, is a Claiborne Pell Award winner. The choreography is by Ann Dittmar's Hike, and this group of young people is ages 13 to 18, I believe, and they're just incredible young folks with lots of energy. So they will be dancing this piece in the cathedral as we perform it.
Excellent. Here we go.
Thank you.
Well, Ed, we come to the end of another hour. Thank you so much for bringing this music to our audience and some of the explanations that you give with it.
It's always my pleasure to be here, Mike. Thanks so much for having me.
We've tried to squeeze a lot in. I want to give the phone number and website one more time. If you can make it on March 12th, that would be great to support the chorale and orchestra. The phone number is 401-521-5670. And you can get a lot of information right off the website at ricco.org. We have one more piece, and we'll get to listen to just a portion of this one also, but tell us about it.
This is the last movement of Ola Yelo's Sunrise Mass. It's entitled The Identity and the Ground. For those of us familiar with the ordinary of the Mass, it's the Sanctus in Agnus Dei.
Thanks once again, Ed. And for the rest of you, we'll see you next week on Conducting Conversations.
Thank you.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.